from the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 21, beginning at the 33rd verse. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Then he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and leave the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes.'" I could start by attempting to modernize the parable story and say, listen to the parable translated not only into English, but translated also into today. I could, for instance, replace the image of the vineyard with that of a business corporation or banking conglomerate, but there may well then be good reason for you to hit the switch off button. Honestly, let's agree on one thing. The vineyard image is great, and it is timeless too. It is an image of the land the people of God called their own. Stewards, the workers, the slaves, and the tenants, these are images too. Images of those who live in that sacred land the Lord has blessed from time immemorial, and they also are timeless as images. For we too are workers, or stewards. Each of us who is a disciple of Jesus is summoned to care for the land of the Lord, namely the church, in the first place. The place, the land where Jesus' name is praised and his people loved and cared for. The vineyards also have neighbors. The ancient vineyard of Israel had neighbors we hear about in the Hebrew scriptures. The Catholic Church today has neighbors too. There are other fields next to or near the vineyard of today's disciples of Christ. We are invited to be aware of and respectful of fields where other gods are invoked, fields where other crops are sown and other harvests awaited. To do so honestly, with peace in our hearts, but with energy in our working hands and feet, and an awareness in our heart and mind that it is in the Lord's vineyard we live and move and have our being. The tenants killed the slaves in the parable story told by Jesus in the Gospel according to Matthew. The next batch of slaves fared no better, and the son himself was mercilessly thrown out and murdered in his turn. It is in the same Gospel, that of Matthew, that we read later on in chapter 25, that the judgment of the Lord at the end of time will make it plainer, even than it appears now, that whatever we do to one another is reckoned on high as the manner in which we treat and deal with Jesus, the Son of God. And even for those generations who claim to be without guilt and say, "We never deprived the Lord Jesus of food or drink or hospitality or healing," the people we omit from our hearts, the souls we exclude from all consideration, the men and women we occasionally murder with bullet from a gun, or the violent curse from our mouth, it is Jesus we revile. It is the Son of God we curse, we ignore, or kill. Why is it, however, that we look at a text like this, outlining in some quite explicit detail an amount of disgusting behavior? Why do we do that during Lent? Perhaps because instead of our reading the scriptures and finding a lesson in its pages, we could allow the scriptures to read us, to give us helpful leads as we examine our conscience, to point a searchlight on our past and present, if only to renew our hope in a future where we treat one another as we wish to be treated by Christ. Forgive us our trespasses, we pray with him to his Father, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Society and the many people who form it tend to paint the world in black and white. We tend to judge people as either good or evil. Isaiah spoke also of the red and crimson of sin on the one hand and the white as snow or perhaps as wool of goodness on the other. The contrast is clear, but we know that no human being is as clearly one or the other as that. Each of us may be partly speckled white, partly decaying or rusty red. But there is hope for all the rusty bones that rattle around inside human bodies. And there is the danger, too, within the hearts of those who are clean and pure and undefiled, the danger of pride, of overconfidence, and of complacency. The hope that lies in our hearts for a brighter, more worthy future, a cleaner and purer existence, that hope is born of the blood that stained Calvary and has stained our world for good. That blood was not shed in vain. The Lord rose from the dead and invited us to look even beyond our own gravestone and long to live in his presence, in a world that knows no endings, no banishment with weapon or word of mouth, no death. But there is also a now about this faith of ours. Its goal is indeed life beyond the grave for all our earthly endeavours, but it's today we are called to listen to his voice in Scripture and to labour in the Lord's vineyard, in the church, to support and sustain the life of one another and come in Christ and with him to the banquet that this vineyard of all vineyards promises, world without end. He is the stone rejected by builders and tenants and slaves and workers. But it is the Lord's doing, and he is the cornerstone of all our endeavour. We follow him, and the Lord asked us, start off now.